Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I wasn't even gone long enough for you to miss me. It was just a long weekend. That's it. I didn't even bother to tweet about it or post about it on Facebook on Sunday night. Actually, I was at a concert, so I was not really thinking about sports or work or anything like that. It was really nice to have a Monday when I could get stuff done. I spent, goodness, 4 or 5 hours on the computer and then another couple hours going through a stack of mail in my office that I hadn't opened. So it was really nice to have Monday coming off of a weekend and not feel as though I had to rush to get everything done on Sunday to try to be ready for the weekend. And I would have enjoyed Monday a lot more if it didn't include 2 hours of yard work. I'm not complaining. Let me just say that right now. I'm not complaining about the amount of rain we've had in my neighborhood, but it's nearly impossible to keep up with mowing the lawn and weeding the yard because it grows incrementally out of control within days. I'm not kidding you. I looked in my backyard on Saturday and thought, okay, not bad. I'm going to go to the beach instead. And then I get to it on Monday after another round of crazy rain and storms. Boy, do I have a story to tell you about Saturday in the middle of the night. I am looking at it on Monday and thinking, I'm pretty sure the grass has grown 2 inches since Saturday. And so, yeah, I had no choice but to get outside and do yard work on Monday. And it was that thick humidity that sits on you. Muggy, buggy, no, never, nuka, huggy. That's what it was. But I did get it done just in time for the rain to start again. It really is every other day. And I know there are lots of places in the country that desperately need the rain. That is not the Northeast. For those of you who are in the Northeast or you remember me talking about it last summer, we went 10 weeks and only had 2 days with spotty rain. No significant rain for 10 weeks. And I remember praying for the rain. Everything in the neighborhood was brown and crusty and dry. It couldn't be more opposite this year. It's unbelievable how much rain we've had. Which is good because I know a lot of the reservoirs, the lakes, the ponds, they were very low. That is not the case anymore. But it makes it a challenge to try to keep up with the yard work. So I did 2 hours on Friday in the front yard and the side yard and then 2 more hours this afternoon. And it was one of those days where you come inside and you can't touch anything. You can't do anything except just go straight to the shower because it was such a nice noise, isn't it? I worked on that over the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Did you see my really cool news that I shared on Twitter? It's only a few times in your life that you ever get to do or experience the elation. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to go check it out. Maybe I'll put it on Facebook as well. But I am so proud of the fact that I could make this call on Monday that I had to celebrate a little bit on Twitter. So yeah, check me out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And okay, fine, I'll put it on Facebook as well. We do have the chance coming up in about 30 minutes to check in with our Jets beat writer that we've snagged for this edition of the show. Why? Because Dalvin Cook has found a home. Finally, it's been a bit since the Vikings previous, well, you know what? He was a Viking his entire career. So the Vikings premier, former running back, couldn't find a new place to land in the NFL. And I'm not sure if you know this. Maybe we talked about it a couple of times here on the show, that he had a $7 million offer on the table from the Minnesota Vikings. He'd also previously had an offer from the Miami Dolphins, though we're not exactly sure how much that was, only that Cook was not interested in it. Well, what he ends up with for 1 year to go to the New York Jets is $8.6 million if he meets all incentives and he plays through the life of this contract. So he had four straight Pro Bowl seasons with the Vikings, four consecutive years in which he ran for more than 1,100 yards. He just turned 28. And now he joins the stable of weapons at Aaron Rodgers' disposal. Breece Hall is trying to return from ACL surgery. Dalvin Cook is a veteran, though theoretically you would say he's in the prime of his career. I know that he's hit some tough patches where he's had injuries, but he still managed to be out there and be productive. Then you think about Garrett Wilson, who is the Offensive Rookie of the Year. They added Allen Lazard and Randall Cobb, and that may be more for Aaron's comfort. Randall, even with the Packers, kind of the second time through, was about being a veteran in the locker room and there when Aaron really needed someone or when guys were hurt. They brought in Mecole Hardman. They have C.J. Uzomah, who was a weapon for Joe Burrow and the Bengals for a couple of years. They, of course, changed offensive coordinators to try to make Aaron Rodgers more comfortable. That's even before they had Aaron, but they knew they coveted Aaron Rodgers. And now Dalvin Cook going back to 2019, he's averaged more than 110 scrimmage yards per game. Only Derrick Henry has been busier than that. Only Derrick Henry has been more prolific and productive than that. If Dalvin Cook can stay healthy, he can be a workhorse for the Jets. Now, what does that mean for Breece Hall, who last year was a big reason why the Jets started out? Shoot, I can't remember. They were above 500 for the first half of the season, though. It looked like, for the first half of the season, this is why they don't award MVPs in the first half of the season at the midway point. It looked like the Jets could be on their way to ending their playoff drought. It didn't happen, obviously. Turned out that the offense was horribly miserable in the second half of the season. And that is due in large part to the quarterback questions, of course. But it wasn't just Zach Wilson. It was also the lack of a consistent run game once Breece Hall got hurt. So while Breece is getting healthy, you add Dalvin Cook. And we'll talk about it in a few minutes here with Antoine Staley of the New York Daily News when he joins us After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. In the same division, Ezekiel Elliott finds a home. He posted on social Monday that he is headed to New England. 1-5 all the way live. That was his tweet. And he included the Patriots handle. And he does plan to wear the jersey with the number 15. Wore that at Ohio State. Different number with the Cowboys. But now we'll have this abrupt shift after starting his career and going 7 seasons with Dallas. Couldn't be more opposite corners of the country, right? Cowboys are doing their training camp in Oxnard, California, where Zeke is headed to New England. We've got the top two free agent running backs off the market, finally. And according to the multiple reports that are out there, the Patriots are paying him $3 million as their base. And he can also make an extra $3 million. Well, an extra $6 million with incentives. Some of that's a signing bonus. So some of it's a lot more achievable. But both Cook and Zeke now have homes halfway through training camp. That's good news. Speaking of training camp and preseason, we've got a bunch of QB news. The latest on Brock Purdy, even as Trey Lance is the subject of attention following the first full weekend of preseason football. Bryce Young getting a taste of NFL snappages. Derek Carr hoping that he can do something similar to what Drew Brees did when he made the jump to the New Orleans Saints. While we're talking offense, Zach Martin reunited with the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll have a lot to talk about in the football realm, the NFL realm. The latest from Mike Trout, I'll just play spoiler here, it's not good. They have been hanging on by a thread anyway in Anaheim, and it is not good. I wouldn't call this the low point for the Angels because they really suffered and struggled right before the All-Star break. They managed to right the ship, even getting above 500 for a while, which triggered them being buyers at the trade deadline as opposed to sellers. And I'm not referring to Shohei Ohtani specifically because it doesn't appear as though the Angels were planning on trading him anyway. But it's kind of coming down on their heads now. Trout's not ready. What do we hear? Was it six to eight weeks, Jay? Originally when he got hurt, and that goes back to early July. We're sitting on 6+ weeks now since he got hurt. Six weeks, essentially. And he'll give an update on where he is, but there's no timetable. So we're sitting on 6 weeks. It could still be a couple more weeks. They're right on target in terms of his recovery from this broken hamate bone, which is like base of your hand, right on the outside. So not quite down to your wrist, but kinda. It's all very technical language I'm using here because of the doctor that I am. So yes, hasn't played since July 3rd. And at this point, the Angels don't know when he'll return. But they're hanging on with just the faintest pulse. We're talking life support now for the Angels after they got pounded by the Rangers just a few hours ago. And yeah, this was so lopsided that it made me think, oh, this could be close to rock bottom again for the Angels.
1-1 pitch. Swing the ball line to center field. That one sinking and falls for a base hit. Grossman scores. The ball's bobbled by Modi. Axel Martinez is waved home. He scores without a throw. And the Rangers put up a couple and they lead 2-0. Marcus swings and hammers one down the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone. Hooking towards the pole. Out of here! A three-run home run for Marcus Semien. The Rangers have opened this one wide open on Marcus's 19th blast of the year. It's 9-0.
We really had long at bats. The pitches probably caught up with them. We laid off some tough pitches throughout the lineup and, drew our walks. I think we got 8 tonight, and guys just stayed with their game plan. Terrific job by them.
And Bruce Bochy, proud of the Rangers' offense. It was humming, 12 runs on 13 hits. So it was a tough night for Phil Nevin and the Angels. He doesn't blame his starter, Patrick Sandoval, but didn't get out of the third inning. So that makes it infinitely more challenging for the bullpen. But before we get to the issues for the Angels, how about the Rangers? Not just the offense, but Max Scherzer. This is vintage Mad Max. He's now 12-4. He tosses a shutout, one hit over 7 innings. I'm not sure what's more impressive. Producer Jay, what's more impressive? The one hit, the scoreless outing, or the fact that he went 7 innings?
Right. Probably the 7 innings, because he hasn't been doing that at all in New York. So.
You think it's because of the climate control now inside the new stadium there?
He's just so happy now. He's in his element. He's happy.
He definitely is that, actually. If you hear Mad Max, you can hear the lilt and the fresh start, the great anticipation in his voice.
You don't just make your season off one start. It's the totality of it. So, like I said, enjoy it. Have a couple beers tonight, but, get ready to work tomorrow.
Okay.
He had it all going tonight. 4 pitches, a great command. You saw one of the best on top of his game. That was pretty much it. He gave up one hit. Terrific job. 7 innings there. He's just so good. He's so well prepared. He's fun to watch. I appreciate the elite players, athletes do their thing. And tonight, that's a fun game to watch.
Of course, it feels great when you don't give up any runs. It's a great feeling. But I pitched long enough to know that you enjoy these moments. But you also know that there's also going to be games where you're going to be in a tight ball game. It's going to be probably a tie ball game, and you got to make pitches around that. So, you enjoy these. Don't get me wrong, but I know what it takes to win at this level. You got to be on your A game every single time. The opposing lineups are all gunning to get you, and so there isn't any time to ever left gas. Every single post, you got to be out there executing pitches and pitching as well as you can.
He was fantastic, which means he was a chatty Cathy afterwards. Mad Max does love to talk. Now, I would say beware of what you believe these days about his tenure with the Mets or his relationship with Justin Verlander. The two of them are both alpha males, but we know that they worked together in Detroit. They were both extremely successful as a 1-2 punch with the Tigers. So I just take everything with a grain of salt. Justin Verlander actually tweeted on Monday and gave his respectful goodbye to the New York Mets. They barely knew ye. What were you there for, all of 4 or 5 minutes? I want to say that I have nothing but respect for the Mets organization, and I enjoyed connecting with all of my teammates this season, new and old. It truly was a wonderful group of people. That being said, we all know the success of a team is made up of more than just the players on the field. Everyone's input is valuable. I'm sorry to hear that a staff member took offense to constructive criticism on how we could improve, wishing nothing but best to the Mets moving forward. So this is his professional response to some of the rumors that are flying around. The idea that he was a diva and that frustrated Mad Max. Whatevs. It's inconsequential now, is it? Isn't it? Who cares, actually? The Mets are only relevant in New York and when they play other teams that have World Series or postseason designs. Actually, Jay said to me earlier, the Mets aren't even relevant to New York. Actually, I think what you said was no one even in New York cares about the Mets.
No, it's done.
How was the game on Saturday?
Oh, my gosh, the game.
I went to the beach. You went to a Mets game. Why?
A friend offered me tickets.
It was free tickets.
Free tickets. And they were like these cool seats that were like these recliners. So I was like, all right, like I'll go. But luck, that was Saturday was the doubleheader where in game one they lost 21-3, was it? So luckily I didn't get
was
to
it?
That one. I got to the other one, the night one.
At least
only
you
6-0.
Would have gotten your money's worth.
Well, to be honest, it was a ton of Braves fans there. They kind of took over the stadium.
I'm not surprised at all.
Didn't
they love to rub the Mets' noses in it.
It was the worst because what can I say? They just destroyed us 21-3 in the earlier game. They're winning 6-0. What can I do?
Us.
Yeah.
I love the use of the word us.
I take that back.
All right. Speaking of the Braves, they also, still battling New York, but the Yankees on Monday. And, man, they're locked in right now. We know they can use the long ball, but that's not the only way that they can hurt their opponents. Also, Houston has Framber Valdez on the mound. He goes deep in the game. Did they get enough offense against the Marlins? And then Baltimore on the road in San Diego. So, a lot to do from the baseball realm. However, if we don't get to it all at the bottom of the hour, too bad, so sad, because we do have to make sure we're out early enough so that we can connect with our Jets beat writer. Antoine Staley is staying up a little bit later for us, and we'll talk about the Dalvin Cook edition. Also, I think I'll ask him, because there's always a lot of noise, some of it created by Sauce Gardner himself. What are the expectations for Sauce? Even as Darrell Revis, who used to have Revis Island, goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, what about Sauce Gardner? Can he keep up this red-hot trajectory after winning Defensive Rookie of the Year? So we'll talk Jets. We actually haven't done it with any type of a reporter, an insider, going back to the start of the preseason. So, fine. It's not an Aaron Rodgers free zone tonight.
Pretty nice.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio, I did share a photo of my happy place on Saturday. I'm not going to retweet that one, but you can check it out again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page. It is a fashion statement, by the way. Whether or not you believe this is a look that you could pull off in your happy place, it's my happy place, and it's a fashion statement. So, yes, find the photo on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page. I did post my fun news, my reason for being celebratory on Monday. It wasn't a manic Monday. It was a woo Monday. And I'm glad to be back here after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
There's a 1-0 pitch on the way to Riley, and he hits one well to right field, heading back to the chop house. That thing's taken off. 1-0 Braves. Austin Riley blisters one into the first row of the chop house, and it is his 29th home run of the year. 0-2, and he whistles one inside the bag, a fair ball. That's going to give the Braves the lead. Two-run score, a perfectly placed ground ball that he shoehorned right inside of third base. 1-2, and he blasts a bullet in the right field for a base hit. Travis will score. Here comes Marcel. Throw out of right field from Stanton off the mark. Two-run score, Rosario down to second. 1-1, and a drive to right field towards the chop house, and right on cue, a home run for Eddie Rosario. And it's 11-2 in the eighth. What a rocket into the chop house.
faced the Rangers twice this year, Baltimore. I mean, all teams that are Boston twice, and all teams that are kind of tops in baseball and offense, and they were far and above beyond those teams, I think. It's just, I don't know if it's them being hot right now or just kind of a combination of all of it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's generous of Clark Schmidt, considering that he gave up 8 runs on 9 hits to those Atlanta Braves. Ben Ingram on Braves Radio. Yeah, 8 runs in the first 3 innings, and that was essentially lights out. They needed the mercy rule for the New York Yankees in Atlanta. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mac Fried is back for the Braves, and it looks like they're stretching him out, keeping him on a limited pitch count, but he allows just 2 runs on the 8 hits through 6 innings. And actually, his favorite moment was striking out a fellow hometown native Californian from the same place where he's from, a guy that he grew up watching in Giancarlo Stanton.
I definitely grew up, being in San Fernando Valley. I'd known about him for a long time, and he is when I first got called up in 17. He definitely got the best of me a couple times. So, I would say that I was just trying to get through that outing, so I wouldn't put in anything special. But it's fun to see guys that, when I was growing up in middle school and high school, that I saw get drafted and get to the big leagues, to be able to play against them on the other side.
As if the Braves weren't good enough, now Max Fried back into the starting rotation. Oh my goodness, they are definitely a juggernaut. And I don't even need to update you on the standings in the NL East. They're the best team in the National League. They've got a double-digit advantage over the Phillies, who obviously were a wild card last year and ended up making it to the World Series. And it's not just best record on the senior circuit. The Orioles are fighting hard, and they continue to play well. They've won 7 of their last 10, but still the Braves have the most wins in the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, by the way, the Yankees are going the other direction. Between them and the Red Sox, they're fighting tooth and nail for the basement of the AL East. And while they're still part of the wild card race, they've definitely taken a hit over these past couple of weeks. Whether it's the injuries to whoever, take your pick. Just draw names out of the hat if you want to for the injuries for the New York Yankees. Or it's just the lack of production. The pitching has not been good either for a good portion of the season. The pitching was keeping them in the race, and they were above 500. Now they're barely clinging to a 60-59 record. And depending upon who you ask, more and more people are pointing at Aaron Boone as about to be the sacrificial lamb.
We've been wearing it lately, but I know we're ready to compete every day, and that's the only thing in control. And somebody throwing their helmet or getting angry or fake emotion being somebody they're not, that can be misleading too.
Fake emotion?
Right in front of us.
Better be no fake emotion when you've lost 7 of your last 10 and 3 in a row. Is that like fake outrage? Fake emotion? He's one to talk, considering he's been ejected like 17 times this season. Is that fake emotion or is that real?
He wasn't going to deal with me.
When you draw a line in the dirt and you fake the strikeout call with all kinds of like crazy facial expressions, he might have lost his mind. I really do think Aaron Boone could use a mental health week. Just suspend him for a week, please.
Box breathing.
Or he could use some box breathing. From one Aaron to another, they're now bosom buddies in New York. All right, find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page too. Coming up, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he's not actually the top reason why we're bringing in a Jets insider. No, they've signed Dalvin Cook.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hand off Dalvin, Miami native, with some room left side.
There
he
goes!
To the right, he gets to the 30, Dalvin 20, and is loose! Touchdown! Welcome home, Dalvin Cook!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. Can't wait for the action, the excitement, the play-by-play. Some of the best voices in all of sports broadcasting. But he's no longer a Viking. He is now headed to the New York Jets. Ooh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Antoine Stanley, who covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. We will start there. Antoine, what's your reaction to the Dalvin Cook signing for New York?
I think it's big. I think, you know, it's much needed for the Jets too as well, specifically because the unknown status of Breece Hall. I know Robert Saleh talked about Breece Hall being ready for this opener against the Buffalo Bills on September 11th. But, you know, the fact of the matter is he is not, you know, come off PUP list yet. And it's hard to know what he's going to look like, you know, once the September 11th comes around. If you look at the running backs in the history of ACL injuries, it's very good. It isn't a long list of guys that's had a lot of success. If you think about Saquon Barkley and him coming off that injury too as well, and it took him another year just to get back to form, I think it's good for the Jets to have extra security by signing a guy like Dalvin Cook, who's well established in the league.
What happened to the Jets running game last year after Breece Hall got hurt?
I think it's a few things. I think one, obviously Hall getting hurt, I think that was big. And two, I think Elijah Vera Tucker going down, I think that was huge for them. You know, we're talking about a guy that played three different positions on the offensive line, which I think is so rare nowadays. And, you know, losing those guys in the same game against Denver, that really derailed their running game too as well. And, you know, Michael Carter, and I think Bam Knight, Sonovan Knight, really gave them a little bit of a jolt late on the season. But I also think the fact of the matter is they couldn't pass the ball effectively, you know, with Zach Wilson there, and then also brought a lot of defenders in the box. And I think that's also a culprit too. So I think it's a combination of those three things of why they couldn't do well and able to run the ball late last year.
Let's say that Breece Hall is even 80% of what he was last year or 70% of what he was last year. You have him as well as Dalvin Cook. The rest of the Jets have raved about Garrett Wilson. We saw what he did last year as the Offensive Rookie of the Year. How do they feed everyone, Antoine?
It's not a bad problem to have, to be honest with you. So I think it's just when you have a guy like Dalvin Cook, what you want to do is just, you know, feeding the ball early and often, and you're not going to necessarily rush Breece Hall back, as I talked about, you know, running backs in the history coming off ACL injuries. He's only 22 years old. He's going to be the future of your team, so there's no point in rushing him back so quickly. And, you know, as long as Dalvin Cook's healthy, I know he's going to come and start practicing a week from now, simply because he's still recovering from his shoulder injury, and also he's expected his first child as well. So, yeah, I think if you just kind of split those carries up and still have a running back committee early on in the season against Buffalo and get those guys going, and I think, like I say, they're going to be explosive offensively. And you talked about Garrett Wilson and also like Lal Lazar too as well. It's a good problem to have here, the Jets, and now Aaron Rodgers.
Mecole Hardman, also a Super Bowl champion. Corey Davis in there as well. And that's just at the wide receiver position. So when you think about the balance that they want to establish with the run versus the pass, what does it look like so far?
It's going to be mostly a passing team, I would expect, too. It's a lot of short passes, especially when you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who isn't far removed from winning back-to-back MVP awards, too. And I also think, you know, they're going to play the high hands. It's going to be dependent on the opponent that they're playing and strategy and things of that nature, too. It might be a team like the Buffalo Bills, who have a really good defense. You know, maybe they decide, you know, we want to rely more on the running game, and they decide to do that. And then, you know, you got the Dallas Cowboys the week after that, and maybe they decide, you know what, we want to go a little bit more pass-friendly. It just depends on the opponent, and I think it's going to vary from week to week, too, depending on what they want to do.
We're pleased to spend a few minutes with Antoine Staley, who is covering the Jets and the Aaron Rodgers circus, as it were, for the New York Daily News. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I keep hearing about how the atmosphere is different, how there's a different energy. So what have you seen and felt so far with the Aaron Rodgers component, Antoine?
The main thing for me is, like, what I haven't seen. I've been covering NFL for a little while now. It's just Aaron, like, after a play is over, he'll go up and talk to not only the offensive players but also the defensive players and tell them what he's doing and how they can get better and little tidbits that, you know, that may sway the side of what he wants to do as far as coverage and things of that nature, too. And, yeah, I think that's rare to have an offensive player that goes up to players, like, during practice to do that. So I think that's one of the ways he's changing the culture of the team, too. We talk about a Jets team that's relatively young, especially what we saw last year. start out 7-4 and end up floundering late on the season. And now you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers that has been to the mountaintop, knows what it takes to get there, and now is helping players establish that new culture around the Jets. Remains to be seen how far they can go in the AFC in the playoffs this year, but it's definitely a new aura around Fulham Park these days.
What have you heard from some of the other players about what it's like to be on the field with him?
It's just some of them were in awe. Some of them just, they're making him better on the field. I think a lot of players have said that. Just them talking about X's and O's and strategy-wise why they're at practice too. And also a belief that they can win. We're talking about a Jets team that has not made the playoffs since 2010. And it was hard. Like, it's hard to have that belief, you know, that you can win. So, yeah, to have a guy in there that has, has been the NFC Championships, has been the Super Bowls, can help out strategy-wise. You look at what Zach Wilson, even in the preseason, he looks like a different quarterback, too. I mean, I know he's not slinging the ball all over the place like I used to, but, you know, he is being a lot more efficient than what Custer was his first couple of years in the league. And, you know, if you see his games against Carolina and also the Browns, I definitely think you can tell a big difference in even his demeanor early on.
Maybe going back to, say, end of regular season, when a lot of the buzz was around Zach being traded or them not keeping him. Are you surprised that this is how it panned out, that he is still on the roster?
No, because I think, you know, ultimately, what were you going to get for Zach Wilson? Maybe like a 7th-round pick or so? It bodes well for them to just keep him. And, you know, you didn't know how long Aaron Rodgers might decide to play. Now it seems like he's going to play at least a couple of years. But now you can try to groom Zach and, you know, rehab him. And, you know, it's kind of a fresh start for him. And who knows what the future may hold after Aaron Rodgers decides to leave, if it is 2 years, if it's 3 years down the line. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing that they're holding on to him. I actually thought that was probably the best situation for them, simply because I don't know what they would have got for Zach Wilson otherwise.
Antoine Staley of the New York Daily News is with us talking Jets here on CBS Sports Radio and After Hours. Defense is expected to pick up where it left off last year. Tough, physical, hard-nosed. But I'd like to know, what are the expectations for Sauce Gardner in year number two?
Well, a lot of people thought he was one of the best corners in football. I think for him, he wants to be the very best in the game. And I think humbly, he'll tell you that he's not there yet, simply because you have to do it from year after year. But ultimately, that's his goal, and that's what he's striving to do, and to be the best cornerback in football. We're talking about a guy that I don't know if I've seen too many rookies come in and do what he did as a rookie in his first year, being a first team All-Pro, Pro Bowl, arguably one of the best defensive players in the game, and coaching staff and the players believe it's another level that he can reach to. And I'm curious to see what that other level was, because, you know, he was damn near good last year for the Jets. Next to Quentin Williams, I think he was their best defensive player.
What is the strength of the defense?
It's got to be the defensive line by far. You got guys that I think we even seen in the preseason against Carolina. They got guys like Jermaine Johnson, who I think is going to have a really fantastic year, looking like how he was when he came out of Florida State too. Will McDonald, who they drafted in the first round, which I think a lot of people thought would be a luxury pick. He's just on raw ability right now and being able to get to the quarterback with his spin moves and, you know, athleticism. And then obviously Quentin Williams there having 12 sacks last year. Carl Lawson year two coming off the Achilles injury too as well. John Franklin Myers. We can talk about Michael Clemens. Like, they're so deep at defensive line and defensive end in general. It's an embarrassment of riches. I don't know if there's a team in the league that has the amount of depth that they have on the defensive line. And I think that's shown throughout the preseason and just way too, you know, later on the regular season where teams are tired and, you know, beat up just the end of the game, and the Jets will be keep rotating these guys like it's a hockey line. That's kind of the only way I can equate it to. So, yeah, I definitely think the defensive line is by far their greatest strength, but probably on their team, to be honest with you.
The expectations obviously are so different this season. They've been building toward this point where they can finally be a winning team. But they're in a tough division, Antoine. Buffalo was 13-3 last year, one of the top teams in the AFC. We know about Miami making the playoffs the first year with Mike McDaniel, and that's even with a revolving door at quarterback. The Patriots still have Bill Belichick, though they're trying to figure out things. What are your impressions of the AFC East now as we head into 23?
I think it's going to be probably the toughest division in the AFC. I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people would look at the West, too, and I know that was the big talk last year before the Broncos failed to live up their expectations, too. But, yeah, I think the Patriots are going to be, you know, they have a great defense. They have a really good offensive line. And as you talked about, Bill Belichick is there. I think they can still win, you know, probably 7 or 8 games, too. That may some teams in the division's life is difficult. I think Miami, it's all on Tua. If Tua can stay healthy, I think the Dolphins are going to be explosive and a team to watch and possibly a team that can contend for the division. We know Buffalo's there, won the division 3 years in a row. I don't know how much better they are compared to some of the other teams in the division. But, you know, I think with the Dalvin Cook signing, I think the Jets have a legit shot to win the division. I really do. And how they hold up in the AFC, I still think the Chiefs and the Bengals are tier one, but, you know, the Jets, depending on how they start out with it, because they had a brutal schedule to begin the season, I definitely think they could be a team right under both of those teams.
Not only does Dalvin Cook land with the Jets, but Ezekiel Elliott reportedly ends up with the Patriots, these top two free agent running backs, which a lot of the buzz was about these last couple weeks. Antoine, the schedule for the Jets, not just because of the AFC East, but how they start this season against the Bills, on the road at Dallas. They've got a game against the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, not to mention the Eagles, the NFC champions. Man alive, it feels like that schedule's full of landmines.
Yeah, really. I mean, not to nothing. Like, I know, you know, you didn't mention the Patriots, but they hadn't beat the Patriots since 2015. So you can't even really discount that either. So it is a murderous row. And then we got the Broncos. We got the Broncos game, which is going to be kind of a revenge game for Nathaniel Hackett, too. So I know a lot of people, a lot of Jets fans, and probably the players will be circling that, too, as well. So it is the Ezra Makers did them no favors this year. I know they got them on primetime times this year, but yeah, early on they gave them a lot of home games, but those home games are going to be very, very difficult. So if they can navigate that, I think they'll have an opportunity to contend and possibly win the division.
Yeah, we had a over-under on my show about the number of nationally televised games. So not just primetime, but the ones that they would get on Sunday afternoons that would also be nationally televised. And you can see how the schedule makers and the TV networks have determined that this is going to be a team to watch. Can you feel that buzz then, whether it's extra media, whether it's just the attention around the Jets?
Well, yeah, it's no more 1 o'clock games, which is, you know, as a writer, you guess you kind of won. But at the same time, we all knew once you get Aaron Rodgers, you already knew what was going to happen. You know, they're going to get a lot of games in the 4:25 slot and Sunday night and Monday night. So, you know, the days of them having 1 o'clock games is over. But yeah, you could definitely feel the buzz and just from the fans and the media and everybody else just surrounding the team. And yeah, I definitely think that's why I think it's going to be a very eventful season one way or the other for the Jets.
Will not be a dull moment, that's for sure. All right, you can find Antoine on Twitter at Antoine, A-N-T-W-A-N, Staley, S-T-A-L-E-Y. He's covered the NFL for a while, is now with the Jets for the New York Daily News. We're glad to have you with us. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Wow, thank you.
So Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott find homes on the same day in the same division. I don't really believe in coinkydink, but that's interesting. A nice parallel. Still have a couple running backs out there who are free agents, but the rosters are coming together. We've got some QB news that we'll get to next hour. Also, more from football. And did you hear about the tragedy that happened in the world of sports on Monday? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.